Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
To the book of John, the book of John. I just have a very simple message for you this morning and something to kind of just really remind you. Would that be all right? But I have a little something I want to give you from Grant MacDonald. Would you listen to this closely? The top 10 complaints from biblical mothers are wives. Top 10. Number 10, Eve to Adam. You never take me anywhere different to eat. Now, some of you will need to know your Bibles to really kind of get this. Sarah to Abraham. Maybe if you stop treating me like your sister, we could start a family. Elizabeth to John the Baptist. I cook you a nice meal, and all you want is locusts, locusts, locusts. Pharaoh's daughter to Moses. Moses, stop parting the bath water and wash behind those ears. David's mom to Jesse, his father, her husband. Do you really think it was a good idea to get David a sling? He's going to put somebody's eye out. Manoah's wife to her son, Samson. Can't you clean the sink after you shampoo? I'm sick of all these long hairs. Elizabeth to Mary. I love talking to you, Mary. Really, I do. But can you speak a little softer? This kid won't stop doing Roomba in my tummy. I love this one. Mary to Joseph. I told you to make reservations. Herodias to her daughter. I told Herod that if he didn't do something about that John nut, I would make sure the problem came to a head. They cut his head off. And the number one complaint made by a biblical mother or wife is Pilate's wife to Pilate after the resurrection. You never listen to me, do you? How do you feel now, Mr. Wash Your Hands in Public? Just a little something to get us started. In the book of John, chapter 2, I want to talk to you about a mother's faith in you. A mother's faith in you. Here's the way it reads. On the third day, there was a wedding in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, let me just help some of you children. Let me help you not to get your teeth slapped down your throat and look at your mama who gave birth to you. Some of you, 20 hours of labor birth to you. Don't look at her and go, 'Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come.'" I would have needed a resurrection right then, because my mama would have killed me. And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to do, do it." Now there were 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. Ooh, let me just take a moment. Now the master of the feast didn't know where the water came from, but the servants who were serving knew the miracle that had happened when nobody else knew what had just happened. They knew where it had came from. See, that's a blessing in serving. Sometimes people don't know how it got there, but the folks who serve know how it got there because they were part of the miracle that made it happen. Come on, somebody. See, some folks just see you that you made it. But there were some other folks who encouraged you and prayed for you and talked with you at the midnight hour. They know what happened. They knew that you was about to throw in the towel. But Jesus somehow, some way, come along beside you and held you up and held up you. And you were able to make it. And they can rejoice with you because they know where it came from. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum. He, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did stay there many days. Now let me say this to you. A mother's faith in you, whether you're a son or a daughter, no matter how old they get, they never stop needing their mother. There have been many times in my adult life that I wished I could just crawl up into my mom's lap and make her and let her make it all better. I remember God has blessed me with some spiritual mothers in my life. I lost my mother when I was 20 years old. My dad remarried, but she was really never a spiritual mother or a mother to me. Nothing bad against her. She was a good woman, but we just didn't have that connection. But God has always put good women in my life to mother me. And I have appreciated that. I'll never forget, I had two spiritual mothers that passed away, and plus my mom and my youngest daughter. She was real young. She said, poor daddy. He's lost three moms. And she meant well, but I, you know, I mean, there are women that God places in your life that mother you. But let me help some of you women. The one that I don't want to mother me is my wife. Because she is my wife. So let me say to all the mothers, Happy Mother's Day. And it's a tradition to honor all the mothers on this day. And we want to extend a special honor to you today though I hope that we don't make the same mistake that some pastors I know have made. Like the one Russ Martin, he followed the tradition of giving flowers to mothers of special distinction. And the mother with the most children, just like we did, he gave them a flower. The mother with the oldest child, and the mother who had traveled the farthest to come to church, and on, he gave things up. But to spice things up, Pastor Russ added a new category. He wanted to give a special flower to the mother who had gained the most weight. I don't know this, but I'm assuming he wasn't married. Needless to say that nobody took that flower. So today we honor you in our congregation. We hope we do it right. There's an old saying that God couldn't be everywhere at once, so he made moms. Now that statement is not theologically correct. But the sentiment is all right. The attitude toward mothers, because mothers fill a place in our lives that no one else can fill. How many knows that many times mamas believe in you when nobody else believes in you? Daddies will cut you off. I'm done. I'm done. Don't you send another penny. I'm done. But mamas, keep believing. Keep praying. Every mom here is aware that her job involves more than just the normal things that you do. We understand it involves nurture. It involves guidance. It involves building character. And as I've learned with my own wife, the job doesn't end when the child moves out of the house. People told me that, Pastor, it doesn't end when they leave. When they get older, you thought it would get easier. It doesn't. It gets harder. Because it used to, you could solve their problem. Usually a piece of candy would do it. You sad? Here's a piece of candy. Now you happy. Right? But today we're going to look at a story that's showing that the same things were there even with Jesus and Mary. In the Gospel of St. John, we see that Mary played a vital role in the life of Jesus. She also was there at the very beginning of his ministry, and she was there, according to John chapter 19, she was there at the end of his ministry when he was on the cross, because she stayed with him. Now, I don't know. I did a little bit of research, but I could not find where Joseph was throughout most of Jesus' adult ministry, because he's not mentioned. Some theologians said he had already passed away or died, and others had some other things that I won't even mention because they were just so ludicrous. But we don't know where he was at. But we do know that Mary was with Jesus many times. And you've probably heard this story before, where Jesus had attended the wedding and gave his first miracle at this wedding. But Mary was there, and the Bible doesn't say who the wedding was for. But who knows? We don't know where John, or some people say, or one theologian said, that it was John the disciple's wedding. We don't know, but that's just what tradition says, because the Bible doesn't say it, but there's some traditions that lead us that way. But weddings in Palestine were a cause for great celebration. They were feasts. There were feasts that lasted several days, and a crucial part of the celebration was an abundance of wine. Now, this wasn't there for everybody attending the wedding to get drunk, because drunkenness was a social disgrace to have happened in this day and in that day and time. And let me just go ahead and help some of you. It's still a disgrace this day. I mean, how many wants your mama to show up at something drunk? Wouldn't you be so proud? This is my mama. Oh, son. Looking like some just drug up out of the... Don't get me started. Hospitality was sacred in this culture. And running out of wine would have been a humiliating experience for the wedding host. But Mary came to Jesus and she said to him, "They've run out of wine." Jesus answered, "May seem abrupt to you, almost rude, it does to me." Because if we don't read it in its context, he said, "Woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." He's saying, "Don't get me involved. My time's not here yet." But if you were to address your mother as woman, it would be disrespectful. Woman? I wish one of my kids would say, "Woman." I wouldn't have to fly into action. They would be picking themselves up off the floor. And I'd get up to help them. "Here, just get up, baby. Don't talk to your mama that way. It'll be okay. Go in there, put some ice on it. You'll be able to see in about 4 hours." He said, but here's what she said. She was not deterred, because, now I want you to understand that he was 100% Christ, God, but he was 100% man. And Mary was there when the angel of the Lord came and told her what his potential was, what he was going to do. And she began to speak that over him. And matter of fact, when he said, "This don't involve me," she didn't even pay him no mind. How many mamas I know? How many mamas you know like that? No, you know, I remember I used to go home and I was pastoring. You know, I hadn't started pastoring at that time, but I would go home and my mom would go, "Oh, you know, they pastor a real small church," and they go, "Oh, you're going to sing today." I go, no, mama, I didn't come to sing." No, yeah, you're going to sing." "No, I'm not going to sing, mama. It's okay, I'm not going to sing." And then we'd get to church, and then my daddy would get up there, he would say, "Well, it's so good to have my boy with us. He lives out of town, so he don't get to come to church much, so he's going to come and sing for us." I'm like, no, I'm not going to sing. Mama said, "Yes, you are. You're going to get up there and sing." "Yeah, no, mama, I'm not going to sing." Yeah, and my daddy would, "Come on, everybody, just give me a hand. Come on." And they would shame me into getting up and singing. Because mamas don't take no for an answer, do they? And that's what mama did. Mama said, mama said it's obligada. Anyway, let me go on. Mama said, some of y'all get that. Mama said, whatever he says, do, do it. He goes, mama, woman, my time has not yet come. Whatever he says, do it. I ain't going to say nothing. Oh, you going to say something. You're going to do something. I know you can do something about this. You're going to do. I am not going to be embarrassed up in this house. I can tell you that right now. Sound like anybody's mama. You are not going to embarrass me up here in front of these people. I know what you can do, and you're going to do something. Right? Do whatever he tells you. And so we know that there were 20 to 30 gallon stone water jars nearby that were used for ceremonial washing. Jesus told them to fill the jars up to the water to the brim, and they did. And they told the master, draw some out. And they took it to the master of the banquet. The master of the banquet said, "Oh my goodness, you've saved the best for last." And we look how Jesus and his mother related to one another, there are three lessons that I want to give you this morning of how moms can relate to their children, how this teaches us something about a mother's faith and how it can impact our lives. And mothers, don't ever forget, I don't care how old they are, most children still want and need your approval. And there's a huge difference with being involved in their lives and manipulating their lives. Number one is this: be involved in your child's life. Be involved in your child's life. Know who they hang with. Know who they are friends with. You know, I remember, and I know you, some of y'all are going to call me old-fashioned. Some of you younger people are going to get upset with me, but that's all right. Because, you know, as long as my children lived in my house, I knew their password to Facebook and to all the other social things that they had. And every once in a while, I'd just go on there and check. Now, I haven't done it in years. Why? Because I ain't had to, because they was all good. You know what I'm saying? And Pastor, I respect my child's privacy. No. You live in my house. Ain't no privacy. I will take the door off your hinges. There ain't no privacy. You ain't going to lock no door with me up in here. You ain't going to do it. That's all right. It's all right. Well, he's just barbaric. Whatever. It's no coincidence that Jesus and his disciples were at the wedding and his mother was there too. Why? Because he stayed involved in her life and she stayed involved in his life, and they continued to spend time together. You know, my children now are 24, and the other one will be 20 in August. When we were raising them, I would always wonder, I hope that they want to come and spend time with me and mama. I hope that when they get out, they're like, "Woo, glory to God, I'm glad I'm out of there. I ain't ever going back there." And to God be the glory to hell. But it's been a process that I've tried to stay in their lives, and their mom has tried to stay involved in their life, and they stayed involved in our lives. And so parents often joke about how much they're looking forward to getting the kids out of the house and out of their hair forever. And kids often joke about getting out from under the parents' control as soon as possible. Here's what one comedian said: that happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. But I'm not talking about parents controlling the children. Now here comes the crux. Here comes the rub, if you will. That we want to control it, but we can't control it. We have to let them make their own decisions. One of the greatest compliments that a friend of mine gave me is when my daughter, my OCD's kicking in, when my daughter was going off to college, and I was just so afraid, you know, of her making the right decisions and things like that. And here's what he said. He said, "Ronnie, you didn't make her make the right decisions. You helped her you helped her to learn how to make right decisions." And there's a process. You can't control them everything, because they will rebel, right? But Jesus and Mary had such an understanding, had such a relationship that there wasn't no argument. He said, my time is not coming. She goes, it's all right. Do whatever he says. I'm going on out here. And she just waited for it to happen. So moms, let me just encourage you not to control your children, not making their decisions and running their lives. And I know moms that way. If you have one in here, you better not raise your hand. But neither am I talking about kids remaining financially dependent upon their parents even after they're grown. I mean, it's time to grow up. I'm not talking about keeping the line, or what I am talking about is keeping the lines of communication open, continuing to do things together, continuing to enjoy one another's company. Just as you tried to brighten your children's day when they were little children, just as you nurtured them and comforted them and encouraged them back then, continue to do it today. I mean, you know, periodically I would just text my children and go, I just want you to know I love your face. And that's it. You know, I had one of my daughters the other day called me, or she texted me, and she goes, Daddy, thank you for being a great dad. I don't have any daddy issues. And I go, oh. Oh, Lord. My daughter surprised Sherry yesterday. You know, Sherry, my youngest daughter is going to Portugal. And then so my oldest one had to work, because that happens, you know. But she didn't know she got off the day. And so she surprised her mom last night. And her mom was just so happy to see her when she came in. See, stay involved in their life. But don't control it. Don't try to run it. You need your mama in your life. And let me tell you something. Well, Pastor, you don't know my mama being in there. Blah, 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 blah. There is a special blessing to honor your mother, honor your father. I didn't say you got to like them. I'm being real. I know it's kind of funny. I'm not saying you got to like them, but you do need to honor them. You can honor them without liking them. But it's really great when you like them and you honor them. All right? I say this because you have the power to do it. You have the power to make your child's day every day. More than anything else in the world, you can brighten your child's day just by being pleasant, a pleasant presence in their life. You know, don't be like this mom. A man called his mother and said, Mom, how you doing? She said, not so good. I'm very weak. He says, why are you weak? She says, because I haven't eaten in 32 days. He says, you haven't eaten in 32 days. Why not? And she says, because I didn't want my mouth to be full in case you called me. Nobody wants that. You're like, all right, mama, I'm sorry I didn't call. And that's why I don't call. That's not what I'm talking about. Be a pleasant in their life. That's the opposite of what I want to communicate to you today, is that little story that I've just told you. Because your children don't need more guilt, though sometimes they might deserve it. You want to strive to bring joy into their lives so that your being together is always uplifting time of fellowship. See, your children would love to be around you if you uplift them. I'm not talking about agreeing with them all the time. There are times you got to do correction. There are times you got to tell them, I disagree with you. But you still got to remember that they're growing up, but they still need you. Am I making sense? Now, children, I'm speaking to children of all ages. We should follow the example of Jesus in this story and always speak to our mother with words of honor. Because we see where Jesus said, woman. But if you read it in the original Arabic, it really reads, gracious lady. Dear woman. Here's the second lesson for you. Be aware of your child's potential. Be aware of your child's potential. But let me go a little bit step further. Also be aware of what your child can't do. You need to be realistic. You know, if you think your child's going to be the next, Kobe Bryant, and your child is 5'3" and white, probably not going to happen. All right? I mean, but you need to be aware of their potential. Most mothers swing to the extreme, and that is great, because they just think their child can do anything, right? Oh, my child can do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I wondered where we got my family. I wonder where we got our drive from, because my dad doesn't have that drive. And so I asked one of my older brothers, and I said, where do we get this drive from? She said, I can tell you exactly where we got it. I said, where? He said, we got it from Mom. I said, I don't remember that. He says, oh, I do. Because my oldest brother, you know, my oldest brother, his dream in life was to run a business and have people work for him. And my dad said to him, and my dad's a good man, but my dad said to him, now, son, you just need to get a good job, try to put your time in and retire. And my mama said, oh, hush, Hicks. That's my daddy's name, Hicks. She said, oh, hush, Hicks. And she looked at him and, David, she said, baby, she said, if you want to do that, then that's what you need to do. Because I know you can do it. See, you need somebody to believe in you. Look to their potential. Don't look at all of their hang-ups. Look at their potential. Most moms are like the Jerry Steinfeld's mom. How many remember this? In one of the episodes of Steinfeld, the storyline was that someone was mad at Jerry and was out to get him. But here's what Jerry's mom on the show kept saying. You're such a nice boy. How could anybody not like you? How many remember that? She saw his potential. When Mary was at the wedding in Canaan and the wine suddenly ran out, immediately she went to Jesus because she knew that he could do something about it. I'm reading the story and I get the impression that she hadn't mentioned it to Jesus. The water wouldn't have been changed to wine because no one else recognized his potential. Nobody else was going to tell him, you can do something about this. Nobody else was going to tell him, honey, I was there. I mean, I'm sure it didn't go this way, but I can just imagine that if Jesus would have went on, Mary would have said, I was there when Gabriel came. You wouldn't. When Gabriel come down and the Holy Spirit overshadowed me and something happened inside of me and I knew that I had not been with no man, but you were placed in me. And I can tell you that he said, you're going to be the Messiah. And you might not know it right now, but you are the Messiah. And you can do something about this. One day, you will take away the sin of the mankind. One day, you will reign forever. One day, I don't know how and I don't know when. She believed in him. She knew something about his potential that nobody else knew. It possibly could have, that wedding could have been a catastrophe, but because she knew his potential. Mary was the one who recognized it. That's the kind of mother every son and every daughter needs. One that recognizes his or her potential. Even before they do, look for the strengths in your children. Remind them of the good they can do. I've heard my wife say this many, many times, especially when they got a, you know, how many has been blessed with a strong-willed child? All right, look, just look around. Keep your hands up for a moment. Just look around. All right, now put your hands down. Now, how many of you were strong-willed children? And now you bless. Yeah, I can't believe Rod didn't have his hand up. Come on, Rod. You're in church. Strong-willed children. And I hear my wife say this many, many times. My wife will say, now you can control that, but that's leadership. She'll say, channel it. Channel it. Because, you know, because I'm a strong-willed child too. When my child challenged me, I'm like, no, I'm bigger. I will slap you in the next week. But my wife, being the godly mother, she goes, don't you touch my baby. She'd say, uh-uh, that's just a strong will. Now, we ain't gonna put up with it, and we ain't gonna let this go But we're not going to break that spirit in her, because she will lead one day instead of being a follower of those that should not be leading. And let me just say, you need to ask God to give you wisdom of a strong-willed child and to lead them so that when they get older, that they won't be the follower, but they'll be the leader. And then live a life in front of them in such a way that not only will they be a leader, but they'll be a leader to those people that bring them to Christ, because they have a godly character that you help instill into them. Can you say amen? So you see, trust your mama's judgment. The third lesson is this: be willing to let your child do things themselves. Let your child be willing to do, or be willing to let your child do things themselves. What do you mean? I mean, if you do everything for your child, that's going to be a problem. See, I want to talk to all of you women who have young men. You need to teach them something. Now, why do you want me to teach my young men something? Because I got two daughters. And I don't want some of them knothead little boys thinking they're a man and they don't even know what a man is, because mama been doing everything for them. Some of the little knothead boys, I can't do no diaper. Yes, you can. I know your potential. You can play Xbox? Oh, yeah, you can do a diaper. Ain't no big deal. You take X, fold it over to Z, A over to B, and Y right on up. That's all it is. Ain't no big deal. I'll put the buttons on I'll put the buttons of Xbox on your diaper, and you'll be good to go. Amen. Because let me help you something, church. Let me tell parents something. Parenting is hard work. Well, no, it's not, because you ain't done nothing. That's why your children are all wild. Nobody wants them to come to their house, because they just tear the whole place up. Ooh, I can't get no help up in here. It's all right, though. I'm going to preach anyway. Mary told Jesus about the situation regarding the wine. She told the servants to do whatever Jesus told them to do, and then she just stepped out of the picture. You know, I picture, if she'd have had a mic, she'd have said, y'all do this, and just drop the mic and walk off the stage. She said, I'm going to get out of the picture. Because here's what we want to do. We want to tell them what to do and then how to do it. They got to learn some things on their own. They got to learn some things on their own. They got to learn, because they're not going to do it the way that you do it. And trust me, some things they will learn the way you do it. But you got to give them room. Believe in them. Let them do what God wants them to do. All right? When we read the story, we have an advantage that Mary didn't have. We know that eventually what happened, that Jesus performed this miracle and many, many more. He taught thousands of people how to live God's way. Then he died on the cross for our sins, and the third day he rose again. We know all this, but Mary didn't know any of that at the time. She just knew what she had been told. She didn't have any of the details of the upcoming events in Jesus' life. Believe in your child. But then you got to let them make some decisions. You got to give them the ability to fall. My oldest daughter, she would do this to me all the time. She would ask me my advice, and I would give her something, and she'd go, is this one of those moments? I go, what moments? She'd say, the moments that you really know what to tell me to do, but you won't, because you're hoping I'll make the right decision. I go, it's your decision. And 9 times out of 10, she'd make the right decision. A couple of times she didn't. I had to kill the person. No, I'm just kidding. 9 times out of 10, she would make the right decision. But Mary didn't know any of the details of the upcoming events in Jesus' life. But she did know that he was no ordinary son. She did know that she had to let him do his work his way, or rather God's way. So she said to the servants, whatever he says, do it. I don't know about you, but I could tell the Lord a few ways of how I want some things done. And it would probably mess it up. I'm thankful that he doesn't take my advice. Mary didn't try to tell Jesus how to perform the miracles. He didn't say, she didn't go, now what you need to do is go get these. No, she just said, do it. And she walked away. I believe in you. And surely Mary might have done it differently, but Jesus had to do it his way. Every parent must learn when to step back and allow their child to make their own decisions. And let me help some of you. Sometimes it's going to be the wrong decision. Well, then what do you do? Well, I ain't going to pick them up. Well, that's when you're there to help them try to pick up and move on. Sometimes they'll make decisions you don't agree with, decisions that you don't understand, but you have to be willing to allow them to handle the details of their lives themselves. But if you have the right relationship with them, you can speak into their life and they will hear it for what it is. It's important to stay involved in your child's life, but it's also important to step back and allow them to make their own choices and own decisions. Part of what makes this difficult is the fact that parents, and moms especially, will always see their children as children. You know, and not only will it be children. You know, I walked in today and I won't mention their name because it's rude to tell somebody's age, especially when they're a woman. But there's a young girl, mother, matter of fact, that turned 30 this year, just a couple of days ago. And she turned 30, and I can remember when she was like 6, 7, 8 years old. And to me, she will always be this little 8-year-old, 7-year-old girl, because that's what I want to remember, even though she won for the most kids this morning. But, you know, but I won't tell you who she is. But I remember that girl. I remember that girl in a funeral reception throwing up in the back of my car. True story. I was in a funeral reception. I was like, oh, don't do that. Oh, Jesus. But that's what we parents do, right? We always remember them as small. We always remember them as children. And it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It doesn't even mean that you distrust them. You have to be willing to let them do things their way. It doesn't mean that you're not involved. It doesn't mean that you don't care. It doesn't even mean that you trust their judgment. It means that you recognize their responsibility to make their own decisions. And what we see from this story is that a mother never stops mothering. And I want you to know and realize that a son or daughter never stops needing their mother at times. When your child was little, you were the only one who could offer the kind of love, the nurture, encouragement, and support that he or she needed. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit or just me. Please understand when I say this. That as they get older, your relationship changes. And you do have to cut the apron strings. And especially to all the men. A lot of the trouble that you have in your marriage sometimes is because you won't leave your mama and cleave to your wife. Now, I've heard people go, well, I'm not marrying their family. Yes, you are. Let me just get, this is free. This is free premarital counseling. And if you're already married, think about this. There are 5 reasons why people get divorced. Money, communication, sex, the way that you rear children, the way you raise children, and the way that you treat one another's family. Oh, at the time, it don't matter. I don't even like my family. All right, good. We ain't got to see them. But there'll come a day, the older you get, the more you want to go back to family. And never make somebody pick or choose between their spouse and their mama or daddy or family. It's good preaching, Pastor. It's good advice. Now that they're full grown, you still need them. They may no longer live at your house. They may no longer still need you in many ways, but they still need to be involved in your life. They need to recognize, they need you to recognize possibilities that they may be able to recognize in themselves or not be able to recognize in themselves. Speak to that potential. And they need you to stand by them and support as they make their own way in life. A mother's role in the life of her child is so important. That's why we take this special day to honor you, moms. Dear gracious woman, lady, thank you, Mom. I want us to take a few moments this morning. I just want you to kind of reflect a little bit. I just want something soft on the keys. I don't need the whole band right now. I just want a little music on the keys. And I just want you to think about, how have I treated my mom? And then moms, how have I treated my children? And the only person who can answer that is you and God. Have I honored my mother? And then as a mother, have I honored my children? Because God gave you that child. I don't care how they were brought into it. God gave them this, the gift of God. Have I honored my mother? That doesn't mean you got to do everything they say. You know, is everybody getting what I'm trying to? Everybody getting what I'm putting down? Did I honor my mother and my father? It's not Father's Day, but did I honor my mother and father? Then I did I do right by my kids? Father, I pray over this congregation today. And I pray, Lord, that all of our mothers today would feel honored. All of our mothers. Would realize that you're their gift to us. And Lord, help us know when to butt out. And when to be involved. God, help us to know how to speak to their potential. Let us be willing to let them do things their way. And God, help us to always be involved in their life in a way that is not manipulation, but a help. Lord God, help us to be a help to our children. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.